Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. It's a verse you would think would never have to be commanded of us. It would be something that we just did. But it's not necessarily so. We're directed here as part of what we've been reading about and studying regarding anxiety. So verse 8, Philippians 4. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Let's pray. Lord, it's good that we have such good things to think of. If we were in the kingdom of darkness, we would have darkness to think of, to dwell upon. We can imagine a better world, but Lord, we could not make it so. And yet, Lord, in you we have all good things. No good thing do you withhold from those who walk upright. You are full of goodness. And so, Lord, may our continuing walk with the peace of God be because we are focused and delight in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Did I learn anything from that day? I got into my Volkswagen Squareback 1973 baby blue, and I sat on a yellow jacket. Back then, you know, we had our air conditioning for that car was the windows were down. So while the windows were down, a yellow jacket had decided to come and sit on my driver's seat in my Volkswagen. So I sat down and started it up, and I went about a mile before I knew if there were, that there was actually something to learn in this. I don't know what the bee did for the half a mile. What had happened? Why am I being smothered? What can I do about it? Well, what the bee finally decided to do about it is sting me in my leg, which made me pull over and get out and find the culprit and get him out of the car or kill him. I forget what happened to him. Surely he was dead by all this. I don't know. But did I learn anything from that? Well, one thing I learned is I never wanted to do that again. You know, yellow jacket really hurts when it stings. I've had several. I don't recommend them. I learned that this is something maybe to watch out for in the future if such things were to be in the same way occurring. Well, before you respond, well, of course that's all you learn. Duh. Let me remind you that many people do not learn lessons. Not that they shouldn't learn lessons, they just don't. Proverbs 26:11 says, like a dog that returns to his vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Fools repeat folly. They don't learn. A sow, 2 Peter tells us, after washing, returns to wallowing in the mire. You wash a sow, a pig, and they will go back to the mire and wallow therein. Again, a lesson of returning to evil and not learning a lesson. If you rescue a man of great anger, Proverbs 19:19 tells us, you have to do it again later. Somebody you calm down and tell, oh, settle down. Okay, I don't know what got into me. Well, it's going to get into them later if that's not dealt with at the heart. So the first question after learning how to have peace with God from worry, which we saw in verses 6 and 7, is what now? Now that I have peace, I see how to do that. What now? Can I just go into automatic and let go and let God. You know, there's even a song that is called Let Go and Let God. I don't know what it means. I know it doesn't sound very scriptural. Let go and let God. We have responsibilities now. And so what do we do? Do we go in automatic? No. Am I immune to worry? Even if I try to worry, am I unable to? I mean, I haven't worried in weeks now. I got the peace of God. I haven't worried in weeks. Let me try to worry. And you just couldn't muster it up. Just couldn't do it. It's like when you got the COVID vaccine. You could try to get COVID. You could not get it no matter what you did. You go without a mask, you still couldn't get it. Or something like that. I mean, is it that way? You just get a shot and it's over. We walk with God. We don't graduate from God. When we walk with God, we have this peace. We cast our care upon Him. We have peace. And we walk with God. That is not a graduation. I'm sorry to the students here that have just experienced the heartbreak of summer vacation beginning. I know how hard it is. We went through it, didn't we? And as Mike came in this morning, Mike agrees with me. You'll get over it. The summer will pass, and you'll be able to go back to school. So, chin up. But do we graduate once we get peace? Do we graduate? Well, I never worry again. Of course not. We walk. Our victory over anxiety is an ongoing process. And we have a role in maintaining that. If something's good set before you, hopefully at lunch in a little bit, you'll have something good set before you. What are you going to do with it? One bite? Cindy will tell you, if we go to the theater, we haven't gone a long time, get that buttered popcorn, which I'm so fond of. One bite's all I want. Just take a little off the top where the butter is. Then I'll just sit back, put the bucket aside, and I'm satisfied. I'm not satisfied. I go all the way down to where the butter is actually a small river at the bottom of the bucket. Fill it up on a leaf. We're not satisfied with a little bit of the Lord Jesus. We're in the section here of rejoice in the Lord that emphasizes the rejoicing part. We're to rejoice in the Lord. Now, we're to rejoice entirely in the Lord, as it says before. But this is the rejoicing part. How do we rejoice in the Lord? And to rejoice in the Lord, it is required that you have a burden-free heart and mind. That for you to rejoice in the Lord, your heart and your mind must be good. Not weighed down, people say, if something's just heavy on my mind. Was it Glenn Campbell had that song, Gentle on My Mind? That's what you're looking for. But if your mind is weighed down, you can't run from that. You can leave some areas where things are bad. You can change a channel if something on the television disturbs you. Or go to another internet site if you don't find what you want to find on that one. But your heart goes with you. Your mind goes with you. If your heart is downcast, you can't run from that. If you're out in the woods and a limb falls on you, what do you do with it? Carry it home? Try to bear up under it? You get it off of you. You can't live life with a limb on you. So this is what we do with our cares. Our heart and our mind must be good. God's peace fills our heart and mind, as we see in verses 6 and 7. and then guards us from further invasion. But we, as this verse 8 declares, have a responsibility. Now, this is finally number 2, verse 8. Finally, brethren. If you look back at verse 1 of chapter 3, finally, my brethren. This is the second finally. Finally, number 2, the first finally regarded rejoicing explicitly in the Lord alone. Just the Lord. If you go to a drugstore and Tylenol is too expensive or Advil is too expensive, then you can get a generic. And a generic will be less expensive. Some generics are just the same. Some generics may not be. But there's no generic for the Lord Jesus. So the first rejoice in the Lord is to keep us from generics, from wandering from the Lord for something else we're told that works. Because nothing else will, and nothing else is right. And there's a firm direction in the verses of chapter 3 of dedication in the pursuit of the Lord, and to repel all false movements and erroneous doctrines that we come in contact with. The reason our world is in such a mess on the basis is because of sin. The world has yet to discover a new evil that it does not embrace. The world is looking for new evil, new wickedness. So when new wickedness comes along, the world embraces it. And those who are rejoicing in the Lord don't do that. We nip that in the bud. We stop that. We don't nurture that. We sacrifice, again, recalling chapter 3, we sacrifice all things for the sake of knowing Christ. And we conform our lives to the Lord Jesus. Power of his resurrection, all of that. This is our spiritual environment. We live in Christ. We thrive in Christ. And that is in truth. Now we will see, you see in verse 8, we'll get into that, Lord willing, next week. Finally, my brethren, whatever is true. I love when Cindy tells me how good looking I am. I don't want to get too personal. I love it even more that it's true. You see, if she just said it because, well, you know. So, we are to live in that truth environment. We're to thrive in truth. We don't have to make things up. The world's always making things up. This is true, they say, when it's not. And they've been doing it for evolution forever. But truth is what encourages. The second, finally, in verse 8, is after the second rejoice in the Lord. The rejoice in the Lord. We're rejoicing is the focus. We're to rejoice in the Lord. We're to live out our relationship with Christ with joy. Back in the Middle Ages, the Dark Ages, sometime person would get religion and they would find a monastery and they would go isolate themselves on some monastery somewhere, live with a bunch of hermits, beat themselves over the back with a whip, deny themselves the pleasures of life. Why? Because in their mind, if you were to be a Christian, the more miserable you were, the better Christian you could be. And that's not true. You want to be a good Christian? A Christian has more joy and happiness than anybody in the world who is without Christ. Excess in sin is not better than Christ. And so we're to rejoice in the Lord. That meant in verse 5, we are to have a gentle spirit. Let your gentle spirit may be made known to all men. The world is violent, mean, nasty, and vindictive. Those in Christ are to have a gentle spirit. It takes place by vanquishing worry. Verses 6 and 7, be anxious for nothing. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So your rejoicing is in peace. And it takes place by maintaining a delightful mind, which is our verse today. To keep your mind delightful. You know, that's up to you. If you're on a farm and you said, you know, I'd like to go out and just sit out in the field and see if I can find a manure pile and just focus my mind on that. Probably not going to do your mind a lot of good. That's up to you. And it takes place by practicing the things we've been taught by God. That's verse 9, which I didn't read, but Lord willing, we'll get to that. And the result in verse 9, the latter phrase there, and the God of peace will be with you. So all of this rejoicing in the Lord, the God of peace is with us. We have peace in our heart and our mind. Our worries are taken away by the supernatural peace of God. Wow, who wouldn't want that? And so the two finallys are really stronger than just one finally. Because this is finally number two. That's just piling on. That's supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. You girls know what that means. No. That's even more. So we are planted firmly in Christ, and then the Lord fills our lives to the brim. On your scripture sheet, if you want to follow there, if otherwise, Colossians 2:6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Dr. Belcher gave us an assignment in Greek to exegete, to translate that verse according to the tenses of the Greek. And so verse 7, having been firmly rooted, is a passive, perfect passive, completed action. We've been perfectly firmly rooted forever in Christ. And the, after that is the practice of it, to live out, to be established, instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. We're being built up in him. This is the life of a Christian. Life of a Christian is not to do things. It's not to do formalities. It's not just to show up every now and then, here and there, and do this or that. It's a life. It's breathing. This is what we're being offered. Well, of course, a lot of people are very bored with religion because they don't have the right one, or they don't walk with God. Do you think Enoch was taken up after he walked with God because he was so bored? You look at the Psalms. Oh, there's delight in the Lord. The heart and the mind work together and produces the substance of our lives. What our heart and mind are is what will be produced. Our will, affections, our understanding drive our actions. And if our mind is bad, we're driven toward bad things. And if our mind is good, then toward good things. And the Lord works from the inside. Now, in the new covenant, we have a new heart and mind. But the heart and the mind are the determining factors. There are a lot of verses there in the sheet. Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Now, there are 64 verses in Proverbs, by the way, that include heart. Out of a total of 915, 64 mention the heart. And Proverbs is the practical book of wisdom. Proverbs 15:13, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. When the heart is sad, the spirit is broken. Remember how you used to when you were a kid, make sure you want your parents to know how upset you were? You'd put your How's that look? How's that look for your wedding picture? That means you didn't want to get married. Proverbs 15:15, all the days of the afflicted are bad, but a cheerful heart has a continual feast. Proverbs 17:22, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Matthew 15:17, do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated, but the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. Luke 6:45, the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. The evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. 2 Corinthians 4:3, even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Do you understand what a blessing it is to see this way? 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I'm afraid that as a servant deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. We've already seen in Philippians 3:18 that many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. You see, our hearts have been changed. John 12:38, this is what happened in the new covenant. This was to fulfill the word of Isaiah, the prophet, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this reason, they could not believe. For Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, so they would not see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them. They have their hearts hardened, so they can't submit. They have their eyes blinded, so they can't comprehend. And the power of the new covenant is to make all that new. This is the covenant, Hebrews 8:10, that I will make with them, with the house of Israel, after those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds, I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, the word out there, that it's not here. But when it gets in here, it works out to there. This is how the Bible says God fixes. God fixes us from the inside out. Psalm 34:8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. One thing I know about people that don't like buttered popcorn is they've not tasted it. If you don't like fried okra, you've not had it. If you don't like the Lord, you have not tasted the goodness of the Lord. The Lord is good. You can't partake in tasting of the Lord and come away with, well, that was awful. So the Bible fixes us from inside. The world has no power to fix. Their hearts are darkened. Their minds are bad. You might as well be a surgeon. Close your eyes, tape up your eyes, and go at it. You can't fix it. So people say, you know, have a better society if we all use the right pronouns. I've been using the right pronouns for all my life, haven't you? The world can only work on the outside. When you paint a house, if you do that, get a house painter over. You know, I'm having some marital problems, having some children problems, my children are upset, having some financial problems in the house. Can you get a painter to come over and paint the house and fix all that? Painter paints on the outside. Painter fix outside. Oh, outside looks great. Doesn't do a thing for the inside of the house. That's a whole different world. So that's the new covenant. And the world can't touch that. Our new mind understands the ways of God. Because The Lord puts that in our hearts and in our minds by the new birth. And then we work that out and learn more about that. Our new heart is no longer stony, but submits to the will of God. You can go to a statue and talk to it all day long. Some people are offended by statues. They're so offended they have to get them out of the park. I guess the statue said something nasty to them. They got to get them out. But you can talk to a statue all day and they won't move. Because they're stone. You talk to an unbeliever, stony heart, they just bounces right off until the Holy Spirit breaks it. See, our new heart is no longer stony. And we're to love God with our heart, soul, mind, and all of our strength. And that puts us into the realm of having a seedbed of a healthy life. And in order for it to remain healthy, we must keep that heart and mind right. And so that brings us to the third point, thinking 101. You know, thinking used to be something people did. Where I grew up, there was a two-lane road that went up the mountain by the Packlet River up to Saluda, North Carolina. It had a lot of sharp turns, narrow bridges. And there used to be a sign as you started up the mountain that was one of those warning signs or instruction signs, and it just said, think. That's all it said. Think. And if you ever go up that road, you know what that means. You cannot unthink on that road. The river will be waiting for you. And so you think, and life is much more complicated than a trip up the mountain to Saluda. You think. A filter has two functions. One function is blocking impurities, and the other function is allowing purities. I wish there was a filter for gnats that would let air in and keep gnats out. Walking this past week, there's not one of those I have yet. But a good filter keeps out the bad, lets in the good. And an impurity is something which will break the operation of whatever it gets into. And so a purity would aid proper operation. We have oil filters, air filters, all that in the car to keep out impurities, to let the good stuff in. And so it's especially needful for core components. I mean, there could be a little bad news out there somewhere where you don't live and don't have any dealings with, and that would be a big thing. But the heart and the mind are core components. You wonder why there's always all this bad news delivered in the world? Where do you ever go? When did you have you ever, even before this day, where it's so corrupt and false? Did you ever go all way back, Walter Cronkite? Some of you don't know who that is. And Walter Cronkite started out and said, let me just take the first 25 minutes of my 30-minute broadcast and tell you all the good things that happened today. It's always bad. It's bad to get you down. It's bad to lay you low. It's bad to take your hope away from you, to make you not even hope in God, to make the enemy so much larger than he is, your problems so much heavier than they are. Because the devil wants you down. God tells us, Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our mind is the filter for our heart. And it's not used in the world. People just pull anything in. The filters are bad. But you got a good mind, your heart is protected from all the evil of this world, and your life is right. If the mind is blinded, it does not allow good to enter into the hearts. And minds can be deceived and led astray. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11. You know, that you'll be deceived like Eve was. And a darkened mind indulges in the lust of the flesh and the mind. Ephesians 2:3, among them we all, too, formerly lived in the lust of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. We used to just indulge the lust of the flesh and the mind. That's what the salvation of God in Christ brought us out of. And gave us a good heart and a good mind. So we have a filter, blessed by God, to keep the bad out, to let the good in. Then we come to the thinking party of verse 8. And again, I'm going to deal with these, Lord willing, in more detail later. Here's the thinking party. Look what it says again. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell, and that's not just a passing think, dwell on these things. Think that would help your mindset? The Lord thinks it will. Dwell on these things. You know one great blessing of music and singing? Not all songs and not all music, but you are singing and filling your heart and your mind with truth. And a melody will tend to make it stick. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. When I went to the camp meetings in the mountains when I was in college, go home for the summer usually, somebody starts singing a song. The Inspirations would be there. You've heard of the Inspirations, haven't you? They'd be right up there singing. Some other groups. We'd just be sitting out there and they'd start singing and somebody'd stand up and, glory! And boy, it would turn loose then. And people were excited to hear it because it was truth being put into the mind, put into the heart. Good news. The bounty here. You go into a buffet. You know, the Bible says, Paul says, I buffet my body. You go into a buffet, you look at all the food. Ah, yep, I'm in the right place. This is a buffet. All these things that you have to take in. What is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, of good repute, any excellence, anything worthy of praise, dwell on those things. Eat to your heart's content. Fill your mind. Fill your heart. Take it all in. There's a lot of junk food out there that won't give you this nourishment. This will nourish our soul. This will maintain our peace with God. Maintain our victory over anxiety. Our duty. Now the great thing for us is that the world is finite. The cares of the world are plenty. The world is finite. So even with all the worries of the world, there's an end to them. God is infinite. Our rejoicing in God is much better and easier than the world because God is infinite. There's no end to the things to fill our mind with the Lord. Our duty, according to 1 Peter 1:13, is to equip our minds for action. Therefore, he says, prepare your minds for action, keep sober in spirit, fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Christians can't load up with a bunch of blanks to battle this hostile world. We got to load up with the Word of God. Truth. What is honorable? What is of good repute? All those things. And to fill it up. Let me just say, you're going to go out into a world this week, and you know it, that's going to try to take every bit of that out of you. To put everything in you but that. If it's in you on Sunday, oh, that's such a great thought. And then you go out Monday, oh, I'm already down. It'll fight you. You've got to prepare your mind for action and keep sober in spirit and fix your hope. Tell the devil to get out of your territory. And think on these things. Growing up, you have a room. If you're blessed, I had a half a room. My brother shared it with me. And my sister had a room of her own. Is that fair, girls? And she had a room of her own. And she could do, you know what she could do with her room? Anything she wanted to do. She could put up a picture of Bobby Sherman on her wall if she wanted to. Or some band. I had a half a room, my brother. He put up, he glued baseball cards and football cards to his board over there, thus ruining them for all eternity. And later on, they were probably valuable, worth something. I had a Lost Horizons poster on my wall. If I had a black light, I could have really shown that thing up. But then, you know, it's your space. In your space, you get your will. You get to put in your space what you want in your space. Mike gets to get whatever chainsaw he wants to go out in the woods with. You know, whatever you got, you do it. You get that and you do it because it's your space. Your mind is your mind. Your heart is your heart. Fill it with this. Don't let the devil pour into it what you don't want there. Fill it with what is supposed to be there. And kick out all the rest. And dwell on these pure things. Let's pray. Lord, you're good to us because we have such good things to think on. Not things we have to create, things we have to apply. And we thank you, Lord. May you make our hearts and our minds to dwell on these pure things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.